All right, joining us in a studio, of course, one of the is Ian Bessarabia. Of course, one of the bigger issues, in fact, the biggest issue, according to all the surveys, with regard to this election, is unemployment. It is jobs. It's about jobs, jobs, and more jobs. And the question, of course, Ian. Very good morning. Firstly,
good morning, Howard.
You've been sitting here holding back. I've seen how you were itching to get involved in all sorts of conversations a little bit earlier. Are you comfortable saying who you're going to vote for?
So yes, I'm comfortable, and I think it has to be a strong opposition. I think the DA has an important role to play, and it comes out in the whole manifesto. So I've been scrolling through or looking through some of the manifestos, and some of them are quite humorous, actually.
Intentionally?
I'm not sure. I think they're quite bold. If you look at the EFF as an example, they are quite, I think, far-fetched. They want to offer...
jobs now.
Well, jobs now, and any student that is going to try and proceed towards a doctoral degree will get R1 million. So... And that's to...
I can be a student.
Yeah, for R1 million, I'd also...
So, Nati, you can be a student. You're a student.
Yeah.
And you're wearing red today.
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, you're it.
Yeah. So you'll get right. paid... So, Nati, you could get paid off a once-off grant of R1 million to all black graduates pursuing doctoral studies at accredited institutions, including overseas students by 2024. That's their...
Hold on.
Manifesto.
I'm
so,
giving you, Howard.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me... A black guy from Iceland can apply for, who's doing their doctorate, his doctorate can get R1 million from the EFF.
It would seem that way.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Wow. We're going to have.
Sure.
I mean, Africa's a big continent.
I think the other one that's humorous coming to them, and we'll get to some of the serious ones in a moment, but the EFF says they will pass a law that will zero rate all educational apps and content in all gadgets such as computers, laptops, tablets, and phones. The EFF government will provide 2 warm meals per day to each student at institutions of higher learning by 2020, provide free transport to students by 2023, and place a price cap on food sold at all institutions of higher learning by 2019. That must be a misprint.
By 2019?
Yeah, I was going to say that's...
Yeah, that's soon.
So those are the ones that kind of like got my attention because they're quite humorous. But I think if we get onto the serious ones, and going back to your point, is that the ANC and the DAC education slightly differently. Mm. In the sense that the ANC see it as numbers, so they see it more about more of our youth getting into educational institutions, whereas the DA see it more around quality of education. And those are two very distinct...
That's very interesting.
Yeah, it's two very distinct views, and something that I think has been contentious in South Africa's...
Well, it has been,
democracy.
Because, I mean, that's maybe why we've got, the ANC's goal, which I do understand on some level, is to get as many people qualified through matric to get to get that certificate. But unfortunately, the standard has become appalling in this regard.
And I think the numbers game, anybody can play the numbers game. And I pulled out a couple of numbers which they may be relevant, but they may be not. But it just goes to show that numbers can talk to anybody's agenda. So if I gave you a figure of 17,980 and then I said 8,462,000, as numbers, that sounds like a significant increase. But putting that into context, that is, the educational attainment that of the black population that matrix attained from the period 1960 to 2011. So contextually, one could say, well, the numbers are great, you know what
right,
I mean? But
right.
It's all relative. It doesn't really say much about are we really addressing educational issues. And these numbers are probably more compelling in the sense that if you look that we still have 45% of students that do not complete their upper secondary education, and only 1% of the poorest 20% obtaining a university degree. So the concern.
It's very interesting, though. I mean, you know, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the whole idea of education is shifting around the world anyway.
Absolutely.
It isn't. I think it's no longer such a thing that you've got to have a university degree. That there are areas of training. There's areas where you could really excel. Why are we still so caught up in the measure being a university degree versus success in other areas, in training, in vocational training, whether it's, no matter what it is. I mean, there are so many areas.
I would put the blame, or blame is maybe a strong word, but I would put the issue with corporates. And why I say that is corporates kind of have an elitist approach to skills funding.
Mm.
And they still do tend, and that's not to say that funding should be neglected for students who want to do university degrees, but they need to shift that mindset to start looking at creating space for other skills, such as electricians, builders. And those are the skills that are needed for growth of our broader economy. So if you go back to what you're saying.
I mean, I'm not even talking about laborers.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that becomes problematic when you start to divide your population into your blue collar, white collar worker thing. That brings all sorts of issues in play. I'm saying things like learning to be a drone pilot.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't require necessarily a matric, but it upskills people in a way that they can be involved in a different area. They don't need a university degree to be a drone pilot, but it's going to become more and more an important area of the workforce. So, you know, I'm not even dividing it between blue and white collar. I'm saying we should be looking at this whole education thing, and these political parties, government should be looking at it very differently, and not using the only measure as being a university degree. Whereas obviously I understand the drive for it. I value education very, very highly. I get it. But I think it's not seeing the whole picture.
Absolutely. And a perfect example, as you say, is you don't need to go to university or get a university degree to be a coder or a programmer.
Exactly.
And those are the highest paid jobs or the biggest demanded 100%. Jobs at the moment.
Mm.
And I think if you look at some of the big organizations that are being bold, Ernst & Young, or EY as they're more commonly referred to now, EY have actually started taking on non-graduates into their intern programs and that, whereas previously you had to be a degreed candidate. And that's a shift in mindset. But going back to our topic here, it's about addressing the right issues, not just playing the numbers game. I'm concerned that you look at a lot of them, that they're big on ideas but short on delivery.
We're going to continue this conversation in just a moment. Time is 8:20. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem 101.9 Chai FM. We're talking unemployment. We're talking employment and education with regard to political parties and the election. A message from Steve G. He says, "Hi, as a Jew, I feel indebted to the ACDP. They are by far the strongest voice in the pro-Israel area, but I'm worried about diluting the opposition. Is that a real thing?" Steve G wants to know that. Is it a real thing? Steve, I have to tell you that I'm told it's a real thing, but I don't agree with it. My view is that we each have an obligation to vote for the party that we want to vote for. That's how democracy works. My measure of it is who represents the value system and who most represents the country that you want to live in and that you want your children to live in. If that is the ACDP, I would vote for them and not vote for somebody because you are scared to dilute the vote. That's my thoughts. I'm probably completely wrong about that. It's just my view on that. And science says locally, I will go for DA. Nationally, UDM is my vote. And science says, what about calling the baby Donald? Donald is, no, I don't think anybody will be calling that child. I think that's the one safe bet, is that this child is not going to be called. So Ian Bessarabi joining us in studio, just rounding out the conversation about employment and about jobs. The number one issue for South African voters going to the polls tomorrow. Do you think any of the political parties have nailed it with regard to the employment issues? We know the EFF says we want jobs now, but we don't really know how that's going to happen, because you need to create jobs, not just take them away from other people. And the DA are saying that they want one job per home, which has been their policy the whole way through. The ANC have created more jobs than the country even has, apparently. So that's something very, very, very different. But tell me your thoughts.
Howard, bluntly, I don't think any of the political parties know the answer. I think the answer is going to be in execution, and it's going to be through collaboration. And it's not going to just be collaboration amongst the private and public sector. It's going to also be amongst political parties, because this is a national problem. It's not just a political problem. And if we don't start prioritizing and reskilling the country, we're going to fall behind. And I use the analogy of a train leaving a station. If it's a steam train, you've got a good chance of catching the train if you're running a few minutes late. If it's a bullet train, you're going to be left behind.
And you'll never catch
it. You'll never catch that train. Mm. So we have a one-off opportunity now to really assess the skills that are lacking, to relook at youth employment. And there's a great initiative that's called YES, the Youth Employment Service, which is a joint private and public initiative. The problem with these things is they cannot last for 5 years. They can't be as part of a political tenure. It needs to be a long-term project. So irrespective of who's going to be running the country, we need to have an education plan. And if we don't address this, we're just going to grow the deficit. So for me, whoever wins the election tomorrow, they need to step back and look at the youth of South Africa and say, are we actually going to be part of the fourth industrial revolution, or are we going to just be casual observers?
Absolutely, absolutely well put. That's where we leave it. That's Ian Bessarabi. He talks to us on a Tuesday. He's head of strategic projects at On the Edge Blocks for Business. And we talk about the future of work. In just a few moments, we're going to be chatting to National Executive Director of the South African Zionist Federation, Nikki Raz. We're going to hear about what is going on, what is planned for Yom HaZikaron and for Yom HaAtzma'ut this week.